Church, how we doing? God is good, amen? How can you not sing that stinking song and not get excited about Jesus, amen? Like, if you can sing that song and it do nothing for you, you might be dead, okay? So we might have to get somebody to come check you out, all right? No, God is good. I love worshiping with you guys every week. I say it every time I come up here, but it's like my favorite 30 minutes of the week, man, is being able to come in here and worship God with you guys today. So, hey, we are excited to be here today. Who's ready for Thanksgiving? A few of us, thank you. A few of us. Hey, we are, if you're new here with us at the River Church, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Come on, let's welcome. Thank you. We're glad you're here. We have been walking through a series in the Gospel of Luke. And so we've been walking through Luke and studying Jesus' life and who he is and what he taught. And Luke tells us as he sets out to write his gospel that he's writing out these things down so that we would have confidence in the one in whom we put our faith in. And so we've just been looking at the life of Jesus that we would have confidence in who he is, what he means to us, what the saving grace of Christ means for us as we follow him with our lives. And so we've enjoyed walking through Luke. But with that said, today's going to be our last day in Luke for a while. Thank you, Billy. Thank you. I'm glad. That's right. That's like, oh, man. No, the reason why is next week we're going to begin Advent. So Advent season is going to kick off next Sunday. And so when you get here next Sunday, we're going to be in Christmas mode, baby, all right? And so we're going to spend the next 4 or 5 weeks looking at the coming of Christ to this world and just worshiping God for his goodness in Christ. And so it's one of our favorite seasons as a church family. And there's some cool things that we have planned that we're excited to share with you and excited for you to see. So you're not going to want to miss that. But so we're going to take a little bit of a break in Luke. And then in 2023, baby, we're going to be kicking it right back off, all right? You're not going to miss a thing, all right? Thank you, Mercedes. All right, let's keep going. All right, so if you were here with us last week, we were in one of, I mean, it's got to be, right? If you have a Bible verse that you put on your refrigerator, or a Bible verse that you put on a t-shirt or in a coffee mug, last week was one of those verses that is like your number one favorite verse. It was love your enemies. Amen? And I know that if I go to your house and I go to your refrigerator, it's right there, right? You got a t-shirt, love your enemies, right? It's our favorite verse. Well, this week is going to be another one of those that you're going to walk out of here going, I'm getting a t-shirt made, baby, all right? Last week, Jesus challenged us to love our enemies, and he said do that by imitating our Father in heaven. He told us to do good to our enemies, to bless our enemies, to pray for our enemies. And you'll see today that Jesus is going to basically continue that thought. Now, he's switching from how we treat our enemies necessarily, but to how we treat others and how we deal with one another, how we love one another, how we care for one another. But he's still going to be talking about how we deal and treat with one another. It's all about how we live in community with one another. And so as we head into the holiday season, I think ironically, and I didn't plan this, you think I'd be better at planning, but where we're at today and where we're leaving off in Luke today is really the perfect spot for where we're going to be as we head into the holiday season. Because this passage, although you may not have it on your fridge, it's one you know. This passage may not be one you got in a coffee cup, but it's one you know, and it's one we love to quote. You ready for it? Let's look at it. Luke 6, starting in verse 37, it says, "Do not judge." And you will not be judged. "Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." We love that verse, don't we? Do not judge, and you won't be judged. Do not condemn, and you won't be condemned, right? This is a verse we love to quote, especially when somebody's judging us, amen? Right? Now, we don't want anybody to quote it to us when we're judging other people, right? But we love this, right? When somebody's calling us out for something, judge not lest you be judged, baby, right? Do not condemn, lest you be condemned, right? We love this verse, and we love, man, when people start trying to hold us accountable for things, we get real holy all of a sudden, don't we? Right? We quote the scriptures. It says in the Word, do not judge, lest you be judged, right? We like it. I have a friend who in high school got that tattooed on his back. He says, "Do not, you know, only God can judge me," is what it said. And it was as ugly as it sounds. It's a nasty tattoo, right? I mean, I'm not against tattoos, but this is a bad tattoo, right? Matter of fact, I still make fun of him to this day. So Brandon, if you're watching, it's an ugly tattoo and you know it, all right? We like this verse when we feel like somebody's judging us. We like this verse when we feel like somebody's condemning us. We love to pull that line. But here's the thing, is this is another one of those passages that we as Christians love to take out of context and slap it on whatever feels best for us personally in the moment. Amen? There's only people who said amen and liars right here in this room, right? Because we use this passage in the way that it suits us as Christians. Don't judge me. God said don't judge me. And when we do that, we have a tendency to take it out of context. And you say, well, so what is Jesus saying to us in this passage then, Mike? If he's not saying people can't judge me, what's he saying? Well, first let me tell you what he's not saying. When he tells us as Christians not to judge lest we be judged, or not to condemn lest we be condemned, what he's not saying is that we as Christians should ignore injustice. What he's not saying when he says don't judge one another or don't condemn one another is he is not saying we should ignore injustice. He is also not saying that we should ignore sin. He's not saying that we should ignore wrongdoing, that if someone is, we're in relationship with someone and they're walking in sin after sin after sin, what he's not saying is that you should not hold that person accountable. He's not saying that we should ignore sin, ignore injustice, ignore wrongdoing, and he is not saying that we as Christians should not hold each other accountable. As a matter of fact, the Bible is pretty clear that we as Christians, especially brothers and sisters in Christ who enter into a church community like we have here, whether it's small groups or discipleship or mentorship, we have a responsibility to hold one another accountable. Amen? We have a responsibility to hold one another accountable. The Bible clearly teaches that, but we should learn to do that in a way that is to lovingly challenge one another, to lovingly correct one another, to lovingly hold one another accountable. It should be done in love. But that type of stuff is not what Jesus is referencing when he says, judge not lest you be judged, because what we do as Christians, and I love the church, I love Christians, but one thing we love to do is use this verse to get out of being held accountable, don't we? We use this verse to avoid accountability, and that is not what Jesus is promoting when he says this, or when he speaks these words. You say, well, what is he saying? Well, I'm going to tell you. Slow down. Relax. Put simply, what he's telling us as Christians is don't be jerks. This side of the room gets it. When he says, don't judge or you will be judged, don't condemn or you will be condemned, the idea, the picture, and the Greek language that he's painting for his disciples and for us is not someone who is judging right and wrong in a correct way, in like a court, or someone who's judging sin in a correct way. What he's speaking to is someone who calls himself a Christian, but lives with a judgmental, critical, and condemning spirit to those around them. There's a difference between looking at something and judging it correctly. There's a clear moral issue here, or holding a friend who has asked you to hold them accountable and holding them accountable for their sin. There's a difference between that and a person who's a cynic, critical, judgmental, hateful, and condemning of everything around them. It's not the same thing. Amen. It's not the same thing. And the thing about this is, you know what I'm talking about. Because we may see this passage and we may not call it exactly like that, or we may not say it exactly like that, but you know what it feels like to be around people who are judgmental, condemning, and critical in their spirit towards everyone around them, don't we? And if you don't, guess who you might be? somebody got elbowed and they're like, I'm not that. You know it when you feel it. And the best way I could even maybe describe this is as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday and we head into the Christmas holidays, one reason why sometimes we don't look forward to these holidays is because you know as you head into these holidays, you're going to be feeling some of that. Amen? You're going to be getting around some family members or some people that you don't hate them, but you don't really get excited about being around them because they're that family member that when you get around them, they're going to be all over you. You walk in the room and they're like, oh, you cut your hair. Right? They're not saying it, but they're saying, I liked it better the other way, right? Or you walk in with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Oh, y'all aren't married yet? Or even worse, oh, y'all are still married? Didn't see that last time, right? Or why don't y'all have kids yet? You've been married so long. Why don't you have kids yet? Or why do you have so many kids, right? The best one is, you know how that happens, right? And if you don't, we did a Song of Solomon series last year. Go check it out. It'll explain a lot. It's family members that you walk in the room and it's this spirit of criticism that they carry with them of their opinions and their judgment. And they don't outright say it. They don't outright maybe speak the condemnation over you, but they're not asking those questions because they care about you. They're asking them because they're judging you. Amen? Every question is a critique. And Jesus in this passage is saying, Christians do not live that way. Christians do not live that way. And what I'm calling it today is a spirit of criticism. As Christians, we should not walk with a spirit of criticism to the world around us. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we don't judge right and wrong. That doesn't mean that we don't call sin, sin, that we don't hold one another accountable. But there is a difference between holding one another accountable, lovingly calling out sin, and being a cynic and a critic and judgmental of everyone around us. Amen? There's a difference. And so I'm warning you as we head into the holiday spirit, don't be like that. Walk in love to one another. And look, let's just be straight honest. This is hard for us, right? I don't know what it was like. I don't know what life was like in Jesus' day, but I'll say this. Human nature is human nature, baby, right? And we very much, as humans, our natural tendency is to be critical of others around us, especially if we don't quite understand them, especially if we don't quite see the whole picture, especially if all we know about them is their social media life, then what we default to is criticism and judgment to one another. I wouldn't do it like that. I wouldn't live that way. Can you believe they bought that? Can you believe they went there? We have this ability to look at other people. And again, this is the danger of not living in close community with one another, because all you're seeing is the social media picture. You don't really know the actual things they're walking through and dealing with and struggling with, right? We just see the picture from far away, and we have this tendency to naturally look at it from the outside in and be critical and judgmental and harsh and how we deal with them. We don't really see people for who they are, because I guarantee you, man, every person that you're about to spend the holidays with is carrying some type of baggage, including us. You said amen because you're carrying it too, amen? Every person that we look at and we judge from the outside, or that we're critical of from the outside, and they're carrying baggage with them. And you say, anybody, I guarantee you, every person who stands on this stage this morning, including myself, is carrying something with us that's hard. Amen? But we don't always see it because we're only looking from the outside in, and where our default is to be critical, to be harsh, to be judgmental. But what Christ calls us to, and he even called us to this last week when he said, talking about treating our enemies, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is this call for empathy, to instead of be judgmental and critical of one another, to seek to understand and have empathy towards one another, so that we would see and understand what they're walking in and carrying with them and going through, so that instead of being judgmental, we would be loving and kind and generous. You see the difference? You see the difference? It's the call that Christ gives us as Christians to not stand from the outside and be judgmental, but to fight through the baggage and fight through the dirt and get in so we can love one another deeply. Yeah. But you can't love one another deeply if we're standing back just, you see the haircut he got? I mean, he's bald, so not much else he could do, but I wasn't talking about me, you jerks. No, I'm kidding. See, judge him. Y'all are being judgmental. You just assumed. And say, why do we do it? You want to know the truth? Probably not. I don't like the truth. I don't like this truth. I don't like this truth. Why do we deal with one another in this way? Because we're insecure. It's our pride, it's our ego, it's our insecurity. And what happens oftentimes is we walk in a spirit of judgment and criticism and condemnation towards one another because to lower someone else makes me feel elevated. It doesn't actually elevate you in any way. It actually you're actually lowering yourself, right? But when we can feel like we've lowered somebody else or we've devalued someone else or we've been able to be critical of someone else, for some reason, it makes us feel better about ourselves. And it's crummy, isn't it? It's a crummy way to live life. But anybody in this room not done that to somebody? You know, everybody's afraid to raise their hands, right? Because we know it's true. We've all in some way, shape, or form done that when we let our insecurity lead us in how we love each other. When we let our insecurity lead us in how we treat other people, we have a default to be condemning, judgmental, and critical of one another. And Jesus says, this is wrong. It's wrong. And so when Jesus quotes this passage, judge not lest you be judged, he's not saying if you see somebody murder somebody, be like, not my job to judge, right? No, instead he's saying that we as Christians have a responsibility to be careful of the posture and attitude of criticism that we adopt towards one another. Let me say that again. He's saying that we as Christians should be careful of the posture and attitude of criticism that we can adopt towards one another. And then Jesus gives us a warning. And this, for me, is scary. He says, this is what's going to happen if you judge one another, if you condemn one another. He says, in the same way you judge one another is the same way you're going to be judged. In the same way you condemn one another is the same way you're going to be condemned. Does that terrify anybody else besides me? It's scary. He says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. What Jesus just told us here, and this is scary to even say, but he just told us here that our behavior as Christians toward other people is going to determine God's behavior towards us. That is terrifying. And if we are critical and harsh in our judgment of one another, God says, all right, let's see how you like it. I'm not worried about this because I'm loving and perfect towards everyone. Why does God care about this so much? Well, God has been generous to us, has he not? God has given us as Christians forgiveness and salvation. He has forgiven time and time and time and time and time. I could keep going until the Cowboys play, right? Time and 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 time again. Has he not? He has given us salvation as Christians. He has given us the Holy Spirit, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to transform our lives, to convict our lives of sin, to remind us of the teachings of Christ. And God has been generous and kind and good and loving to us over and over and over and over. We have experienced grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. But if in experiencing the extravagant love of Christ, if in experiencing the extravagant grace and generosity and forgiveness of a God who says, I won't judge you from afar, I'm going to send Christ to be empathetic to your needs, to understand you and care for you and love you and forgive you and die for you. And God says, if you can experience all of that, if you can take all the goodness of God on in that way and continue to be harsh and critical and unloving to one another. He says, you are not extending to others what I have extended to you. And he says, okay. You want to be a critic? I'll remind you what a critic looks like. And that is scary. Amen? Because how we view one another, how we love one another, how we judge one another, how we forgive one another matters to God. Amen? And I know that's a scary thought. Y'all see, I check my clock, my watch. That means nothing. Don't get excited. I was really just seeing how it matched with my outfit today. You got my Thanksgiving sweater on. I know this idea is a scary thought, but what if we as Christians could hear that passage and instead of being scared, judge not lest you be judged, condemn not lest you, like we can hear that instead of being scared, what if we can read that passage and be excited? What if we can read that passage and God says, how you treat others is how I'm going to treat you. What if we can read that passage and get excited and be filled with hope and say, that means good things for me? Because look at how Jesus continues in this passage. He doesn't stop there. Thank God. Amen. I'm going to go back to 37. He says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Verse 38, this is where it gets good, guys. Give, and it will be given to you. Praise God. Amen? Give, and it will be given to you. And this is this Thanksgiving, man. We're talking cooking here. A good measure, which means a lot, right? When you're filling up like in a good measure of chocolate or whatever, I don't know, what do we like, right? We get a big old scoop, don't we? It's a big old scoop. He says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the key phrase here is, for the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen. What if we could read that passage, instead of thinking about how we deal with others, go, oh, I'm in trouble, go, praise God, God's going to be generous with me. Yeah. Only three of us are nice, apparently, in this room. The rest of us, these altars better be filled with people repenting. Jesus says instead of heaping condemnation and judgment on one another, we should be quick to forgive one another. As Christians, our default should be grace, not criticism. Grace, not judgment. We should be quick to have empathy and understanding and seek healing. Our default should be grace and forgiveness. And Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. And he's not just talking about money here. I know sometimes we hear this and we think it's all about money. This is not necessarily talking about money. He's talking about the generosity with which we treat one another. The generosity with which we treat one another, because criticism and judgment and condemnation is the opposite of generosity, is it not? Criticism and judgment and condemnation is the opposite of generosity. And so Christ says, give and it will be given to you. In essence, be generous in forgiveness. Be generous and giving to one another. Giving what? Kindness, goodness, patience, right? Love to one another. He says, be generous and giving to one another. And hey, we're heading into the Thanksgiving season, right? We're heading into the giving season. What a time to learn to be giving. Amen? And he says, when we treat others with generosity, God will be generous to us. Does that excite us? Amen. Like before we were scared, now we should be excited. He says, God, if we are generous to one another, if we give to one another goodness and patience and kindness and forgiveness, God is going to be generous with us. And he tells us what that generosity is going to look like. And again, it's perfect for measuring recipes at Thanksgiving. Anybody going to be cooking the next few days? Anybody going to be measuring some flour or doing some measurements? Think about this, what Jesus just said. This is how God is going to be generous to you and I when we are giving to one another. He says, a good measure. What's a good measure? It's a big old helping, isn't it? That's a big old scoop. A good measure is a lot. And then what do you do when you got that good measure and it's filled all the way to the top, but you want to fit a little bit more in there? What do you do? Pat it down, right? pat it down. So what? So that God can fill a little bit more in there. Then what happens? And he says, shake them together. What do you do when you shake it together? You shake, 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 shake. So all those things will come together and it'll go to the bottom and fill the hole so you can what? Fill a little bit more in there, baby, right? Let's go. And then what does God say? He says, well, I'm going to give you a good measure, press it down, shake it together. But you know what? I want to bless you even more than that. So let's just pour the flour in it, on it, baby. Let it be running over. And then he says, pour it into your lap. This is the picture. You're holding that cup and God is just pouring the blessing out all over you. Does that sound good to anybody else besides me? Anybody else want to have God's blessing on your life this holiday season? He says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap. I want God's blessing in my life to be a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and I want him pouring blessing all over me, baby. Amen? Anybody else? I'm excited this morning, guys. It's a good day. The imagery that Jesus paints for us as Christians is that when we are generous and forgiving to one another, it's this picture of incredible blessing from God. Not a little blessing, incredible blessing from God. And I know a lot of times when we think blessing, we think money and Cadillacs and cars and whatever. I'm good with that, right? If God wants to make me a millionaire, fine by me, baby, right? But that's not the only type of blessing that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about blessing poured out on your life from your generous Father. And it's this beautiful thing that God says, your human generosity is going to be rewarded by my divine generosity, which is so much better. Amen? Amen. And so in our human nature, when we are tempted to be critical and judgmental and condemning of one another, to walk in a spirit of condemnation towards others, Christ calls us to be forgiving and generous and loving in how we view and treat one another. Why? Because Christ wants us to live not according to our human nature, whose default is to be critical, whose default is to judge, whose default is to be harsh and not even seek to understand one another. That's your human nature. Christ doesn't want you to live in your human nature. He wants you to walk in your spiritual nature. Amen? Amen. And when we are able to walk in forgiveness, walk in love, walk in generosity, walk in empathy towards one another, we are walking by the Spirit. Yeah. Praise God. And this is God saying to us, how we treat one another is very important to him. How we treat one another is very important to him. So much so that God says, don't want you to miss this, how you treat one another is how I'm going to deal with you. So what do we take from this, church? Some of y'all are hungry. You're like, he's talking about cooking. I'm ready to eat. Some of y'all are scared. What is God going to do to me, right? Here's what I take from this today. Because I've been studying Luke, Luke has been studying me. Anybody else know that as you read the scriptures? That's been happening to me this whole series. Here's what I know. I want my cup filled up, overflowing, with the generosity from God. And so this Thanksgiving, I'm gonna rethink my attitude a little bit. Anybody else? This Thanksgiving, I'm gonna think a little bit differently about how I treat and judge and love one another. Maybe. I'll try to be a little bit less critical and a little bit more generous. Anybody else? Maybe I'll be a little bit less judgmental and a little bit more forgiving, seeking to understand one another instead of being so quick to judge one another. Because ultimately, this call is not a call of judgment or whatever you might call it. This is simply a call to live and love like Jesus. Amen? Stand with me, River Church. Last week, God called us to love our enemies, and he said, treat your enemies, treat others how you want to be treated. This week, God warns us to treat others how we want God to treat us. And praise God that he has not been harsh with us. Praise God that he has not been condemning towards you and I.
that he is not looking down at our lives with a posture of cynicism and criticism and judgment towards us. Instead, he has been a good, kind, generous king to us. Amen? And we have a God who, knowing all of our faults, knowing all of our weaknesses, knowing all of our sin, has seen the best in us. And he offered us salvation and life and forgiveness. So may we take all these wonderful blessings that our King has bestowed upon us. Let us take the goodness of God that we've experienced in our life. Allow the Holy Spirit to go to work in us and extend that same generosity and kindness and forgiveness to one another. Amen? Can we do that? It's not easy. It's really not easy. And we need God's help to do it. But he is able, and praise his name that he is forgiving, because we're going to walk out this door and mess it up all over again, right? So praise his name that he is faithful and patient with us. I'm going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to take communion. We're going to worship God in song one more time. And I would just encourage you, if he's talking to you, if he's dealing with your heart, if he's working on you in some way, just let him do it. Just talk to him, respond to him. If you want to come down to these steps, we call it an altar. If you want to come down these steps, you come down and you pray and you talk to God, whatever you need to do. But let us not leave this place without dealing with our Savior. Amen? Because I want his blessing. I want him to fill my cup up. I want it spilling all over my lap. Because I want it, honestly, I want the blessing God's given to me spilling all over you guys as well. And I want the blessing God's given you to spill all over me. Amen? Maybe it's selfish, but it's the truth. Okay? Let's pray. God, I love you. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness and generosity that you extend to us, God. May we extend that same generosity to one another. May we see hope in one another. May we see the best in one another. May we hold one another up, being generous in love, generous in goodness, generous in forgiveness to each other. And ultimately, may we be like you. It's in Christ's name I pray. And everybody said, amen.